Thank you guys as well for the opportunity to come along and share with you today and for your welcome. Thank you so much for your prayers. Isn't it a joy that God knows our hearts? Isn't that a privilege? So often it's difficult to put words into, or put our thoughts into words, but God can read our hearts. So thank you for that. And thank you, Mark, ever so much for leading. That was very helpful. Where's he got? Right down the back there. Look, that was very helpful. Preparation both on a Saturday night and a Sunday morning. You're absolutely right. We did plan to get here 15 minutes before the service. The slip road off the A14 is closed. So but Rachel did point out we should have left a little bit earlier to make sure that... Well, you already know my name. My name is Mark Howson. I was the pastor at Mickfield Evangelical Church for many years, and I retired from that at the very young and tender age of 60 a couple of years ago, and we're now members at Shepherd Drive in Ipswich, and we thought it was best to leave Mickfield in the capable hands of Richard Turl, who had the joy of appointing before I left. So we now worship at Shepherd Drive, and I'm involved in various other things as well with the FIC. But it is a joy to be here today, and I would encourage you to join us later on for lunch, and if you want to chat to me, then please just ask me for my email address or mobile number, and I'll let you have that. And do be praying for us very much over the next few days as we just seek to encourage the church to come together and work for the kingdom. I want to think about verse 10 of that passage that Harrison read to us, and I want to think in particular about us as God's handiwork. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? We are God's handiwork. And to help bring that point home, I'm going to do something that I don't very often do, and I do hope you don't mind me doing this and you don't think that I'm treating it like children at all, but I brought along some illustrations, some visual aids to help us in that. I brought along an owl, first of all. This owl sits along with three others on our piano, and it was made by my dear wife. It was her handiwork. I have also brought along some incredible art. This artwork is made by a girl called Ivy. She is 4 years old. Well, in fact, it might even be made by Hetty. And she's only 2 years old, 2.5. But it was her handiwork. I'm going to keep going. I've got two more. This is a bit of artwork, which was painted especially for me a couple of Christmases ago by my daughter, Naomi. And it's her handiwork. And then there's one more. I'm being very boastful here and showing all the work of my family. Oh, we have got the lid on there. That was made by my father. And it's part of a wooden coffee set. I've got the lid in there. And if any of you, I don't know if you, did my dad come and preach here, Andrew? Did he ever leave you anything? Well, there you go. He used to go and preach, and he used to make woodwork in an abundance. There's loads of it. He was always turning things on his lathe, and if he went to speak anywhere and was asked out for lunch, very often the person who asked him out, the host, would receive a bit of woodwork, and that was his handiwork. The reason why I talk about that is because those handiworks are the creator's, the maker's expression of their love. And as God's handiwork, we are an expression of God's love towards us. Whenever I look at those things, they remind me of the person's ability, but they also remind me of that person's love. It brings pleasure to me as I look at those things. And we as God's handiwork, first of all, display God's glory, God's God's ability. And we're made for that purpose. But we're also made, or God has made us, to enrich our lives so that we can enjoy him especially. And I want us to think about four things in this passage. The first thing is the motivation in the heart of God. Now, we've already alluded to that. My daughter, Naomi, wanted a bench made, a seat made, that fitted directly underneath her window. Now, when I made that seat, I went along and selected the wood carefully. I measured it out. I looked at it. I thought about how I could put it together. I made it. I painted it. I put little hearts on there, which she didn't like. But I did all kinds of things because I wanted to do that especially for her. Now, I'm a farmer as well. And in my time, I have made literally hundreds of pig gates, hundreds of the wretched things. And I hate them, boring things, and when I make them, they're purely a functional thing to do. There's a big difference between me making a pig gate and me making a bench for my daughter. God made us, not because he needed to, not because he needed us. He didn't make us because he got bored and he decided to try the human experience, or a human experiment rather. God's motivation in creating us, in making us his handiwork, was his love. And especially the love that he has for his son, the Lord Jesus. For all eternity, heaven has been a place of where love is expressed between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our God is a relational God. And God chose to expand that wonderful kingdom by adding more children. That's why he made us. The writer to the Hebrews says, God chose to bring many children into glory. And in Romans 8, God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many sons and daughters. God's motivation in making us his handiwork, was love. First of all, for his son, but also for us in wanting to bring us into that family. That passage that Harrison read to us in verse 4, we read, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. If you feel the draw of God on your life, it's because of his great love for you. And he wants to make you, wants to make us part of his family and enjoy that unique, all those unique family benefits. If you already know him, God wants you to know him more and more. A passage in Ephesians that I found tremendously helpful over the years is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3. And he says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's just one passage amongst so many that speak to us of God's rich desire for his people, for his handiwork, to grow in an appreciation of what we mean to him and the reason why he's made us. The motivation in the heart of God was love. The material he chose to work with. I'm always amazed, you know, when I see these people who can walk along the beach and find an old bit of driftwood and take it back with them and make something incredibly beautiful with it. In the farm shop, we have a table that my niece's husband has made out of discarded pallets. And he's made patterns on the top of it. And you'd never know that it was just used out of something that normally people stick on bonfire night. God didn't make us his handiwork because we were a cut above, or because we somehow showed promise. This is the reality. In those, again, those verses that Harrison read to us, listen to the reality of it. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, obeying the devil. All of us used to live that way. By very nature, we were subjects of God's anger. That doesn't paint us in a very good light, does it? Jesus was drawn to people who were avoided by the rest of society. We read of prostitutes, tax collectors, sinners, they were called. And people looked down on everybody else, on all of them. And yet they were the very people that Jesus was drawn to. Jesus said, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus takes what others discard. The driftwood and the pallets of society, and he makes them his handiwork. The material he uses for his handiwork are those who have come to the end of themselves, those who feel their own weakness and their own failure. And the Lord takes them and makes them into something beautiful. It was in Paul's brokenness, and it's not so long ago that I preached on those words of Paul, you know, when he had this incredible vision, and then the Lord gave him a thorn in his flesh to keep him humble. And it was in that brokenness that the Lord came to Paul and said, my grace is enough. And so Paul went about boasting of his weakness, because in that weakness God was seen more clearly. And it's as we understand how weak and failing and broken and fallen we are, and yet how God, in love for his Son and for us, has taken us and made us the way he wants us to be, that God can really use us. God creates beautiful handiwork from our brokenness. Then the purpose for his handiwork. You know, there are three main reasons why my father or my daughter or my wife or my grandchildren make things. The first thing is an expression of his love. My dad, when he retired, in fact, when he was in his late 40s, he had a heart attack. He was the pastor of Battersford. He was under a lot of strain. And the doctor said to him, you need to find an outlet. You need to find a hobby, something else that you can do. So we went down and helped him build a shed in the bottom of the garden at Battersford. And he got himself a lathe. And he used to get away in there and beaver away in there. And I can imagine him working in there, making things, creating things. And as he did so, he had the person who was going to give those things to in mind. They were made lovingly, in particular when it was one of us children he had in mind. They were made with us in mind. When I look at his creations, when I look at the owl that Rachel made, or the picture that my daughter painted, they remind me of their love towards me. God makes us his handiwork as an expression of his love. He made us in love, but he also made us to display love. his continual instruction to his followers was that they should love one another. You listen to what he said in John 13, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Jesus was here in the last evening of his life on earth. He spent that time in that room sitting down with his intimate friends in talking them and instructing them about the future. And a big theme that comes all the way through, in fact, right at the end of that, what we call the upper room discourse, in Jesus' prayer, at the end of that, as he prays for us, he prays that we may be one, that the church, that the world may know. God's creating us, making us his handiwork, out of love for us and love for his Son, is so that we may not only know that love, but display that love to the world around us, as we display that love to one another. And that's why the devil is so bent on sowing discord and disunity. But then God also made things, my dad also made things, to beautify. Now, if I can hold this up again. What good is that? I mean, come on. Gathers dust. If the grandchildren come along and get hold of it, we have to go and rescue it in case they pull an eye off it or something. It's just, it's beautiful. It doesn't have to have any useful purpose. The object of that is to beautify. And one of the reasons why my father made things was to beautify. And one of the reasons why God made us his handiwork is so that we can beautify. Listen to what Paul said to the Philippian church. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of these things. What a wonderful instruction that is to a group of people, isn't it? He's saying to them, be beautiful. Reflect something of the beauty of God. Practice that all the time. As Mark talked to us about preparing for the Lord's day. Well, we need to be preparing for life in general. And that's what Paul is saying to the Philippians. Practice being beautiful. Practice reflecting Jesus. He made us to shine. That's what he says in Matthew, just what Jesus said rather in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, obviously, the context in which Jesus said that, and we understand it, is that we bring light in a dark world, in particular as we hold forth the gospel. But I think also in that is that we bring glory and praise to the one who made us his handiwork. God made us to beautify, to stand out as something that is attractive, to reflect the Lord Jesus, so that as other people look on, they're drawn increasingly to us. But then my dad also made things for use. In our dining room, we've got the lights, the wall lights, were wall lights that my dad made. Now they're very beautiful. We've got a coffee table in the lounge, and it's something that he made. And all around us are things that my dad made. In fact, the first 30 years of our life, we slept in the bed that my dad made for us. All of those things were useful. If I go outside and look at the chimney, my son Tim has very carefully pointed the chimney. We live in an old house and the old lime plaster was coming out, and so we got some scaffold, and Tim spent several days up there carefully pointing the chimney. Now that was an expression of his love for me, but it was useful. God could quite happily manage without us. My niece's husband this last week was cutting up some wood last Saturday, and his son, who's 6 or 7, Eddie, was taking this wood and he was putting it in a barrow that was bigger than what he is, and he was wheeling it up into the trailer, and Luke was giving him 10 pence for every barrow load, and Eddie felt incredibly important. Now the reality is it would have been far quicker for Luke to do that himself, but he chose to make use of Eddie and to make Eddie feel useful. God has chosen to do his work by using us. See what Paul said? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance. Isn't that remarkable? Why on earth would God make use of any one of us? And yet God chooses to. He chooses to use us. He chooses to do his grand work of building his eternal kingdom through us as individuals. And I find that truly remarkable. We know we need always to remember, first of all, that however clever or able we may think we are, God can do a better job than we can. A lot better. But we also need to remember that however feeble we may feel, God delights in us when we simply do what he's called us to do. It's so easy, isn't it, for us to compare ourselves to others and think, well, if only I was like that person, then somehow I would be more useful to God. We feel so weak and so feeble, so dependent. And yet that's exactly what God wants from us, to be dependent upon him. And he makes use of us. The final reason why God made us his handiwork is that so that he will finally display us. Our house, as I'm sure your house is, full of all kinds of things that maybe grandchildren have made. There are photographs in our house. There's all sorts of things. I guess I hadn't realised how creative we are, but all around us are those displays of what people have done. Now comes my turn to boast. I made our dining room table and chairs. My wife normally keeps it covered up so that the children won't write on it. But when we have guests, special guests, we take the cover off and they sit around that table and I wait until somebody says, what a lovely table. And they say, where did you get it from? And I say very humbly, the wood came off the farm. I used the same wood on the chairs, you know. Now I'm ashamed of my boasting. God, on the other hand, is not ashamed of his boasting. He will have us in glory one day. displayed because of the remarkable work of his son, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Why would he do it with any one of us? Why would he ever take us and display us finally in heaven? Because it reveals the marvel and beauty and wonder of his son, the Lord Jesus. The very reason he created us in the first place. So that he could expand that wonderful kingdom of precious relations and sweet expressions of love that had been the case for all eternity in heaven. So that finally we can be in heaven, be on earth with him on that perfect recreated earth as a display of his glory and majesty. That's why Paul says in those words that Harrison read to us, and God raised us up in Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. What do you delight yourself in? Your ability, your status, your possessions, your influence, your position in society? We need to delight ourselves in the fact that we're his handiwork. I find that truly remarkable. I am God's handiwork. I display his beauty. I am an expression of his love. He's chosen to use me. And it's the same with you. Isn't that humbling? Doesn't that remove all boasting? Doesn't that make us fall before him with a grateful and worshipping heart? I do pray that that's the case with you this morning. That you know that wonderful Saviour in whose image God wants to make you. And that you're looking forward to that time when the imperfections that are so sadly and so clearly felt by all of us are removed as we stand in his presence and delight in his majesty for all eternity. Amen. Let me pray, and then we'll sing as we close. Lord Jesus, you have shown such incredible love for us in that while we were still sinners, far, far from you, whilst we were dead and unable to help ourselves, you demonstrated your love for us when Christ died, when he stepped into our hopelessness, into our despair, into our deadness, and brought life. Please help us to understand that more clearly. And please help us to delight ourselves in you, to look away from self and find that our true joy and beauty is seen not when we achieve more, but when we reflect you more. So bless us, Lord, throughout the rest of this day, and indeed throughout this week. Paul also prayed that the Ephesians may be equipped for every good work. May we be equipped by you as your handiwork so that we can serve you better for your name's sake. Amen. And I think our closing hymn is,
O Church Arise.
O Church Arise and Put Your Armour On.